Well, after last Sunday, I was like taking a deep breath. Maybe you were too, thinking, what in the world has happened to our pastor? But over the past few weeks, as we've looked at the book of Habakkuk, we've taken an honest look at the reality that there are those hard times that come in our lives when we have big questions and we have no answers. And there are those times when all we can do is wait on God and hold on to our faith, even though we don't understand and even though we don't see the way out. And then it's when we learn to praise God in the midst of our most difficult circumstances that we find peace. And you can probably surmise that I was pretty much preaching to myself last Sunday. And I do that often because I, like you, go through the same kind of things and wrestle with the same kind of things. And because I stand up here doesn't really make me any different than you. We all have those kind of times in our lives. I'm thankful that they're not that often. Sometimes they come in waves, but those kind of crises in our lives may come at various times, but they're not necessarily the things that we wrestle with every day. And I'm glad about that. More often, there's a whole lot of everyday, nose to the grindstone kind of living, just day in, day out, we're dealing with the realities of life. And a large part of our day in and our day out living, especially in our culture today, involves stress. And I read an article recently, or maybe you saw something on the news, that the 1990s were known as the Prozac generation because of dealing with depression. And today's generation is now been labeled the Xanax generation, and Xanax is a medication to deal with anxiety because we live in an age of high anxiety. And sometimes in our lives, the stress obviously is greater than others, but we all deal with stress. In fact, one of the main health issues today is that people identify in their lives is stress. So I was looking at some articles, and I got on Bing, which is Microsoft's search engine, and I searched for stress in our society. And there were 188,000 results. And I thought, whew. So I went on to Google. Thought maybe Google would be better. Googled stress in our society. 261 million results for stress in our society. And right then and there, I was getting stressed out thinking, how am I going to read an article? And so I saw one that said 52 ways to relieve stress. Thought, awesome. So I opened it up, and it turns out to be, I consider these to be hokey websites, where they don't just list the 52 things. You got to click the arrow and go to the next page where there's a zillion other ads, and then they try to lure you into these stories. You know, mama bears, cubs are drowning, and someone's going to save them. And have you ever seen those? And you click on there, and it doesn't tell you the story. It gives you like a paragraph. Click the arrow, then you go to the next page, and I give up like halfway through those stories. I really want to know what happened to the baby bears, but it's like, this is too much. So I thought, okay, 52 ways to relieve stress. So I clicked on it, and sure enough, there's just like a paragraph. I didn't even get to the first way to relieve stress because I was already stressed out reading that. And so I did find, you know, one statistic that they said that most Americans are suffering from moderate to high stress, with 44% reporting that their stress levels have increased over the past 5 years. And I thought that was interesting, and in some ways I would say that I could relate to that. And then so I think, well, there's got to be some Christian websites that, you know, give some good advice, and sure enough, I found one. 7 ways to overcome stress. I'm thinking, this is a lot better than 52, you know, whatever, 52 remedies for stress. And the first one was, admit you're stressed. I thought, really? This is your first way to overcome stress? Admit you're stressed. I wouldn't even be searching for this article if I didn't know that I was stressed. And then the second one was like, make a list of everything that you're involved in. And my first thought was, that sounds stressful to make a list of everything. And then it gets worse. Take the list to someone you trust and go over the list with them. And I'm thinking, when I'm stressed out, the last thing I want to do is sit down and tell somebody everything. I know that's what you're supposed to do, but I don't like to do that. And then the fourth one was prioritize your list. And by the time I got to where there's three steps that involve a list, it's like, that sounds really stressful to me. I'm not doing it. And then practice saying no. That's a good one. Think about the use of your time. And then the last one was like, keep God first. And I was like, oh, okay, now we get to something, you know, spiritual. But, you know, that's kind of like a no-brainer that we all know. But, you know, how do we do that? So, you know, stress is a reality in our world today. And I suspect it is a bigger issue than it was maybe a generation ago. And the effects of stress go along with it. High blood pressure, anxiety, short tempers, et cetera, et cetera. But as I was doing some reading about this, one of the things that I read struck me, because I'd never really thought about it before, that stress is not something that just randomly comes to you from the outside. Stress is your response, your body's response to what is happening around you. When we get under stress, our tendency is to blame our circumstances and say, well, it's all these things out there in the world that are stressing me out. But those things are not the cause of our stress. Stress is our response to those stressful circumstances. And when we get stressed out and worn down, it's usually because we're not taking the right steps to deal with those things, those circumstances in our life that contribute to our stress level. Now, there's some common examples that probably almost any medical website will give you, some examples of life stressors, things that might cause us to become stressed out. The death of a loved one, it's obvious. Divorce, loss of a job, increase in financial obligations or increase in debt. Getting married, even though that's usually a fun, joyful thing, there's an element of stress and change in that. Moving to a new home. You know how many couples that are going through marital crisis decide that the good idea would be, let's buy a new home and that's going to solve everything, but it doesn't. It usually makes it worse. Chronic illness or injury, taking care of an elderly or sick family member, a traumatic event such as a natural disaster, theft, rape, violence against you or a loved one, heavy workload, too much responsibility, working long hours, and you could probably add to that list those things that tend to lead to stress in your life. And then the doctors would tell us that there are some symptoms or some results or things that come from stress, and those are things like muscular tension, headaches, stomach-related issues like ulcers and heartburn, elevated blood pressure and heart rate, sleeplessness, constant worry over things, fear, depression, anxiety. And when we talk about depression and anxiety, that's more than just a feeling that you have, because there are often physiological and psychological issues that play into that depression and anxiety. So we look at all of those things, and we need to realize that stress in our lives is our response to those difficulties in life. It's how we react to those stressors that come in life. You see, you could put two people in the exact same circumstances with the exact same stressors, and one person will be stressed out and the other person will not be stressed out. And you say, well, why is that? Because it's the way that you think about it, it's the way that you choose to deal with it as to whether that stress takes over your life. It's how we deal with those stressors in our lives, how we process them, how we think about them, how we respond that's important. Do we just deal with it ourselves? I guess that's the question that I want to ask this morning. Or is there someone that we can go to in order to help? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a counselor, and those all can be very helpful to be able to talk through the things that are beginning to make you feel stressed out. Maybe you have someone in your life that you can just call and go to and talk to when you're feeling like you're getting stressed out. And they just seem to be able to calm you down, and you can maybe just feel the stress melt away. And maybe you've had one of those conversations with someone. You walk away and say, man, I feel so much better about the situation. Well, what I want to look at this morning is that the scripture gives us a very specific invitation on who to turn to in order to find rest instead of stress. There is someone who invites us to come and to find relief from our stress, and who offers us rest from our stress, and who invites us to come and let him carry the load. And the scripture we're going to look at this morning is in the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. And I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. You can just keep this open. It's a short three verses that we're going to look at, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I just encourage you through the remainder of our time looking at this passage, just keep it open in front of you so you can look at the text and let it sink into your mind as you listen to what I say this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'm going to just give you three things this morning out of this passage that have been helpful to me as I've thought through this whole thing, and I hope will be helpful to you. And it's what Jesus says to us. It's this invitation. And the first thing that, if we want to think about how we respond to those things that can bring stress in our life, or how we deal with stress that we have let build up in our life, the first thing to do is to come to Christ. When you are weary, Jesus says, when you are weary, when you are worn down, when you are depleted, when you feel overloaded, when you feel stressed out, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Every one of you who are weary and burdened, and he says, I will give you rest. Jesus says, come to me. And actually, the more literal way to translate that is Jesus is saying, come here. Come here. Yes, it's a standing invitation, and the door is always open, but this is a specific command. It's in an imperative tense. It's a specific command to come. It's the kind of command that a parent would give to a child and say to that child, Johnny, Susie, come here. Come here. When we usually think about coming to Christ, we think about, well, I need to come to Christ for forgiveness, and I come to Christ for salvation, or maybe I come to Christ to ask for something. Do we realize that we can come to him for rest? And what does that look like? What do you normally turn to, or who do you normally turn to when you're feeling stressed out? Most often, if we're honest, it's the what we turn to. Comfort food, TV, binge watching something on Netflix. I didn't realize you could do that. Just keep watching one episode after another. You could do it for like 12 hours and go through a whole season of your favorite show. I'm not suggesting you do that, but you can do it. Exercise, I mean, that, you know, that's a healthy way, but some people become obsessed with trying to deal with their stress through exercise. That's better than other options. That's better than overeating. Drugs, etc. But usually it's we look to some kind of distraction to distract us from the feelings of stress that are overcoming us. Maybe it's a who. Maybe it's a person, a friend, a family member that you go to. But what does it mean when Jesus says to come to him? How do we come to Jesus? I mean, it's not like he's sitting in a chair here and we can just walk across the room and sit down and have a conversation with him. How do we come to Jesus? You know, it's not like we can go to some, you know, mountaintop up on a mountain in Jerusalem and Jesus is in a little tent up there and we can make an appointment to be with him. I mean, that's not what does it mean? And Jenny and I were having a conversation. Well, how do we come to Jesus? Well, we come in our heart and in our mind and our spirit, and there's a term that we use for that, and I'll explain that in a minute. But this whole idea of coming to Jesus is like we approach him and we sit down next to him and we have a conversation with him. Now, that may seem like really weird. I don't have those conversations out loud because then I would probably feel like I was, you know, going crazy, but I have those conversations a lot, and we need to have those conversations, and there's a name for that. It's one of those things that kind of scare us off because it seems so daunting, and we make it more complicated than it is, but the name for that is prayer. We pray. We talk to him. We lay everything down. We put it all on the table. Not just coming to him to ask for something. Here's the invitation. You can just come to me, Jesus says, and you can find rest. And you come and you sit. Maybe you read in the word and you let that word soak into you, but you come to him, you talk to him, you lay everything down. And that whole image where Jesus says, come to me, come here, all you who are weary and stressed out and heavily burdened, you come here. It's like he's saying, stop what you're doing, put down the phone. By the way, have you seen this new, this artist that's done this whole thing with the people taking pictures and photos of people without their cell phones, but they're in that mode. So there's a husband and wife laying in bed, each facing the opposite direction, and they're each looking at it's an empty hand, but it's where their cell phone would have been. And it got all of these pictures of like, what would life be like if you didn't have a cell phone in your hand? And it's like, I think Jesus says to us sometimes, stop what you're doing, put down the phone, turn the TV off, walk across the room, and let's talk. And I think about, you know, one of the hymns that we sing from time to time is, what a friend we have in Jesus. And there's one of the verses in there that says, are you weary and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. I mean, we have a place that we can go, and we have a friend that we can go to. I don't think it's in a hymnal, but one of the I've heard the Oak Ridge Boys do it, only because I Googled it. When we were in our first little church out in Dunbar, Pennsylvania, and a small little like country mountain church, one of the favorite songs they sang on Sunday morning was, Let Us Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Anybody know that song? Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. And I'm not going to sing the rest of it, but you know, that's this whole idea. When Jesus is saying, come to me, when you're stressed out, when you're worn down, when you're heavily burdened, he's saying, come, sit down, let's have a talk. It's kind of like a parent telling their stressed out child to come over and to sit on their lap and to snuggle. Earlier this week, Jenny was watching Ade and Manny in the afternoon, and one afternoon this week when she was watching Ade and Manny for Christy, they had taken rather short naps, so she had them both sitting in her lap in the rocking chair, and Manny was carrying on, and he calls Ade, her nickname is Sister Bear, and he kept saying, Sister Bear, Sister Bear, I don't know what he was talking about, and so Jenny said, well, Manny, what's your nickname? And Manny said, Snuggle Puppy. Snuggle Puppy, and we've heard Christy and Nick refer to him, but he refers to himself as Snuggle Puppy, and I think the reason why is because like when he's getting a little bit fussy or something, he'll go climb up on Christy's lap and he'll literally nestle in and snuggle in, and he calms down because he's the Snuggle Puppy. And I've watched Nick and the boys when one of them is like getting, you know, hyped up and kind of out of control, Nick will say, come here. Come over here. And they don't want to come. It's come over here. He'll get him in a bear hug and set him up on his lap. And he'll just like hold him and talk to him until they start to calm down a little bit and the air goes out of their anger or whatever. That's a picture I get That's the kind of thing that comes to my mind when Jesus says, you come to me. When you're stressed out, when you're burdened, when you're weary, come to me. Come to me. I'm not saying be my snuggle puppy, but come to me so that you can sit, so that you can talk, so that you can pray. And I think we miss the opportunity to do that because we have let ourselves and our culture become so driven by our schedules. We don't have time, or we don't make time to just sit, to sit and listen. And we make prayer about, okay, God, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's the 5 requests that I have. Here's what I've got going on today. Please bless me and help me. And we don't take the time to come. And that's what Jesus invites us to do, to come to him. The second thing in this passage that I think Jesus tells us is that if we want to deal with the stress in our life, we come to Christ, but there's a second thing we need to do. We need to give up control. We need to give up control. The greater you need to control things, the more stressed out you're going to be. And so in this interesting passage, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart. And I'm going to give you, in a minute, I'm going to give you a picture of a yoke. But the greater your need to control things, the more stressed out you're going to be. And if you want to lower stress in your life, you've got to give up control. So here's a picture of a yoke. And some of you have seen that. Dave said that his grandfather or someone had one hanging up somewhere in his house. I said, Dave, you should put that over your fireplace. And he wasn't interested. That's a yoke. Now, the next page, or the next picture, shows you how a yoke was used. Those cows don't look particularly happy, granted, but they're wearing a yoke. It's around both of their necks. The thing connects them, and that yoke would be used to help those cows to pull a cart or a wagon. And so a picture of a yoke. So Jesus says to us, take my yoke on you. And when I first hear that, I don't want that around my neck. You know, that doesn't sound particularly encouraging. I don't like the sound of putting an additional burden on myself, because we get an image when we look at a yoke like this and say, wow, that's something that weighs us down or burdens us down. And actually in Scripture, God talked about the yoke of slavery. And so that word yoke was used to be a burden, to talk about a burden. It talked about the yoke of the law, the burden of the Old Testament law to keep. So there is somewhat of a connotation of a yoke as being a burden or a weight. And so when Jesus says, take my yoke on me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, that doesn't sound particularly enticing. I'm not sure that I want a yoke around my neck like those cows have there, those oxen. But here's the thing. The yoke was used to hook two cows together to pull a plow or a cart. And what it actually did was it cut the load in half. If there's just one cow pulling the cart, one cow pulling the plow, that's a heavy burden. And a yoke was used to hook two cows together to either plow a field or to pull a cart, and it actually cut the load in half. Bible talks about being joined together in the yoke of marriage. Marriage helps us, hopefully doesn't add burdens to our life, but it helps us to release or relieve those burdens. Sharing the burden so that you're not the only one pulling. That's the picture that Jesus is given to us. Now, And just as a side note here, there's a scripture in the New Testament where it talks about that when it talks about marriage, it says we should not be unevenly yoked. So a believer should not be unevenly yoked with someone who does not believe. And you think, well, that's kind of a harsh statement, but there's a very practical reason for that. If you are yoked together with someone who is not of the same faith as you, you're going to pull in two different directions. you're not going to be walking together. You're going to pull in two different directions. So there's a very practical reason that the Bible says don't be unevenly yoked, a believer with a non-believer. And that's not because we're being harsh or judgmental. It's just a very practical reality that you end up being pulled in two different directions. So God and marriage is a great picture of being yoked together or joined together so that the two of you share the load. But Jesus is not just talking about that. He's saying, take my yoke on you. He's not just saying, and when he says that, he's not saying, well, I'm going to give you some additional problems and burdens to carry. What he's saying to us when he says, take my yoke on you, he's saying to us, I'm going to help shoulder the load with you. You take my yoke on you, I'm going to help shoulder the load with you. And Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's a really interesting statement. But here's the main thing about the yoke and taking his yoke on us is that when you are yoked like those cattle are, you don't get to choose which direction you're going. Because there's someone that has the reins, and the whole purpose of the yoke is so that the farmer can guide those cows to either plow the field or guide them down the road if they're pulling a cart. And when Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, what he's saying to us is, you got to let me be in control. You got to let me give the direction to your life. You've got to be willing to give up control. And almost everything you read about stress, a lot of it comes down to this. The point of stress for us is that we're not in control with what's happening in our lives. And you think about all the things in this world that might cause us stress, and usually they're things that are completely out of our control. So Jesus says, you come to me, come and talk to me, sit down, find rest, make time, talk to me. Give up control, take my yoke on you, let me shoulder the load, let me give you direction, let me steer you down the right path. And then the third thing is, we need to learn to trust. And so Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn. And then he says, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the invitation that Jesus gives to us. We can learn from him. He is the model. He is the one who is gentle and humble in heart. And so one way you can do that is read the Gospels. If you have a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red letters, make it a practice. If you're going through a stressful time and you need to find encouragement and you need to learn from Jesus and you need to learn about how he responded, how he treated people, how he interacted with people, go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read all of the sections that Jesus speaking, the red letter words in the Bible. Another interesting side note for you historians, Thomas Jefferson created his own Bible. There's a fly up here in case you're wondering why I'm waving. Thomas Jefferson created his own Bible, and what he did with a Bible is he went through, I don't know if he had X-Acto knives back there or just a sharp knife, he went through the New Testament and he cut out all of the words of Jesus. And so Jefferson's Bible had no words of Jesus in it. And I think that's kind of interesting because, like, to me, it's like, what's the point in that? What if you did the opposite? What if we read the Gospels and take time to see how Jesus responded to the pressures of life? Take time to see how he responded to the vindictive attacks of his enemy. Take time to see how he responded to the criticism and ridicule in his day. Take time to see how he treated other people. Listen to what he said. Learn from Jesus. Not just learn about him, but learn from Jesus. And then you learn by practice, by putting into practice what Jesus teaches. Jesus modeled a life of peace and purpose. Not a life of pressure and anxiety. One of the things you find Jesus doing is like, he would just like take off and go up on a mountain for a night. Or early in the morning, he would get off. Sometimes he would get in a boat and Get out on the Sea of Galilee, and that's like, wow, he was like, all these people are wanting to hear him talk, and he gets in a boat, and he sails away from them. He fished. Nick likes to go fishing sometimes at night, and I think part of that is that, yeah, that's a great way to, you're casting out your stress, you're reeling in a fish, casting out your stress, you're reeling in a fish. Jesus modeled a life of peace. And we need to learn to follow Jesus' model of how we live in the face of adversity and how to take time to be with God to find rest and renewal. Jesus always, and you think, well, he's the Son of God. Why did he need to do that? But he always took time to find time to be alone with his Father. He was always having conversations with his Father. And learning is a process. And it takes time to unlearn stress, and I think it takes time to learn trust. Jesus says, find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. The totally opposite. Think about that. I'm gentle and humble in heart. The totally opposite of what so much of our world is, and the complete opposite of stress and anxiety and pressure and all of those things that are part of our world. And Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls. When you come to me, when you give up control and be willing to be under my yoke and let me direct your life, when you learn to trust, you will find rest for your souls. And Jesus invites us to learn from him. And we can find rest for our souls. Sometimes I think we think that following Jesus and learning his ways and putting into practice his teaching is wearisome and hard. Oh, it's too much work. It's too much work to read the Bible. It's too much work to study all these things that Jesus taught. It's hard to try to put into practice the teaching of Jesus. But I think it's just the opposite. His burden, his yoke is light. It's light compared to the rest of this world. When Jesus asks us to come to him, to let go of control of our life, to put our trust in him and learn, it's light compared to the other alternative. What Jesus asks of us is light compared to the weight of sin, compared to the burden and the worry of stress. But yet it's like mind-boggling to me that we will choose the burden of worry and stress and not choose the light burden of trusting Jesus and following him. The world and all of its craziness and sinfulness is what weighs us down and burdens us and stresses us out if we let it. Jesus offers the opposite. Rest, relief, rejuvenation. If you like your R words, you can write those down. Rest, relief, rejuvenation. But physical rest is not enough. It's soul rest that we need. We need relief from anxiety and tensions. We need relief from guilt and fear and bitterness. And so Jesus says to us, when you are stressed out, the first thing you need to do is to come to me, and he will give us the rest and the renewal that we need. So I look at all this and I say, when I'm feeling like I'm getting stressed out, and when I can't seem to get out from under the weight and the burden of some things in my life, the remedy is I go to Jesus. The remedy is I surrender control of all of this stuff to him. The remedy is I let him share the load. The remedy is I let him give me rest. And perhaps the best thing we can do not just to go to Jesus when the stress mounts and we find ourselves freaking out because of stuff that's happening in our life. Better yet, develop the discipline of coming to Jesus in your daily life, spending time with him, reading his words, talking to him, letting his spirit give you strength and grace and peace for the day. And I suggest that you have a place that you can do that. I've told you before, my place is on our back upstairs porch looking out into the woods. And I have one chair that I sit in. Jenny has another chair she sits in. We have stacks of books. I mean, that's a place that I go to read and to think and to pray and to talk to Jesus, because his invitation to you and to me is a standing invitation. It is an invitation to come to him. And the implication of this is that all of us at some point in time are weary and burdened down with life, and the invitation is, come and I will give you rest. Surrender control of your life to me and take my yoke, my direction. Learn from me, Jesus says, and we'll find rest for our souls. We're going to take a few minutes at the close here to just have a quiet prayer time. The guitar is going to play softly, and I want to give you an opportunity. And I very specifically, you know, just want to say, if there's something in your life that has you stressed out, and usually that means it gets control of your life, you can come this morning and just like let go of that and give it to Jesus and come to him. And even more important than that, I want to say, if you've never taken that step to put your faith in Jesus and to trust him, he's always waiting. His arms are wide open. And so as the music plays, we're just going to have a time of prayerful response. But specifically, I want to extend an invitation. If you've not come to that place where you put your trust in Christ and you realize that, you know, your life is just constantly this life of turmoil and stress, and you don't see that there's any way out, come to Jesus this morning and put your faith and your trust in him. Give him your life. Accept the gift of salvation that he offers to you, where you enter into a new life, into God's family, and you have a new beginning. And those of you who have been following Jesus maybe for a year or maybe for 50 years or 60 years or whatever, if you're finding yourself in a place right now where you're feeling like your life is like super stressed out and you've let these things get control of you and you need to, and you're trying desperately to keep control of those things and manage them, and if you just need to come and just like lay it all out and let it go, you can do so. So let's bow our heads, and we're just going to spend a couple minutes giving you an opportunity to respond. And if you want to come forward, and if that helps you to symbolically let go of those things and to take a stand on the decision that you're making to trust Jesus and to come to him and to find rest, feel free to come forward. Let's pray for a few minutes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word tells us that you came to this earth to give us life. And you came that we might have life to the full, that we might have it abundantly. And Lord, we realize and we confess that sometimes in our lives, we let all the things of this world create stress in us, and we have a hard time letting go of it, and we worry about it, and we think about it, and we struggle with it, and we feel the weight. How refreshing that you give us an invitation to come to you when we feel stressed out, when the burdens are heavy, when we're weary, and when we're worn out. You invite us to come. And you tell us that you will take control and you will guide us and you will share the load with us. And we know that you have given us your Spirit for that very purpose, to be the one who comes alongside of us, our advocate, our counselor, our comforter. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will draw us in those times of deepest stress, that you will draw us to Jesus and help us to sit and help us to be still and help us to listen and help us to cast our cares on you, realizing, as your word says, that you care for us. And you have told us in your word that if we draw near to you, that you draw near to us. And I know you're reaching out to us this morning and you're drawing us to yourself and you want us to know peace and you want us to find rest. And so we lay our lives before you. We ask that you will hear our prayers. We pray that you will draw us to yourself, heart, mind, and spirit, that we might find our rest in you. Hear our prayers now that we have prayed to you in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.